Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and, oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Winston-Salem. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. I am here with a group of young professionals, and we are talking about the philosophies and the principles of the credit union industry, and it's just been a real exciting time. And we've got a special guest, Patrick, with us today.
Hey, Patrick, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
So Jason, we just get a few minutes with Patrick. It's Patrick Livingston. He's the IT Services Manager at Coastal Federal Credit Union and the co-founder of CU Aware, which is a young professional development program so that we can continue with succession planning within the credit union movement itself. And Patrick is very instrumental today. Part of his development activities was to facilitate this program. And so, Patrick, why don't you just share with Jason and those of us who are listening, you know, what is the value in bringing these young folks together and teaching them about the philosophies and the principles?
Well, that's a very good question, Troy. I think that the first thing to think about is that when it comes to credit unions, they're the best-kept secret in terms of an employment option. The second element to that is that, there's good business in understanding the history and the guiding principles of how we got to where we are. So the main objective is for us to ground folks in that competitive difference of credit unions. So that's one of the basic tenets. I think it's also fair to let your audience members know about the Credit Union Development Educator Program. That training immersion process is put on by the National Credit Union Foundation. And when you go through this immersive training program from the foundation and become a development educator, you are then full of passion and in charge of becoming a change agent so that you can start to impact your local area. So once you get back and once you are a development educator and you come back from that experience, you're running on another level of passion. So we're manifesting that through this Principles and Philosophy Conference. And so we really want this conference to be about three things. You want to understand the history and the role that credit unions have, see how they apply those philosophies in their operation, and then gain insight onto the social impact. So I think that the conferences that we're putting on, like Principles and Philosophy, it's an extension of the DE Projects program, and it's a wonderful opportunity to indoctrinate folks and teach them about the competitive difference of credit unions.
And Patrick, if people want to find out more about the CU Aware program, how do they do that?
You can find out more about the CU Aware program on our website, cuaware.org. And you can also find links to other resources similar to that on the Carolinas Credit Union League website.
Nice.
Yeah, you can tell Patrick is very passionate about this process. And the really cool thing about this, Jason, is that it's an emergent sort of experience. I mean, the idea is to really delve into the principles to make sure that folks understand them. And although we talk about it as young professionals, and I know you and I have joked about this before, when I mentor the young professionals, my wife tells me the only reason I qualify for young professionals is because I act like a 12-year-old.
But true.
It's basically because in this experience, you have to have the mentoring. It's the opportunity of taking those who have some experience and building them with those who are eager and willing to learn. And what I really love about the process is I love about education. I love about the experiences that people can have when they have self-discovery. But the one thing I know for sure is that self-discovery cannot occur without a basis of or a foundation. So although we want individuals to have self-discovery about our industry and about what we do, they need a basis of information first. And so that is what this program is. And Patriot has another young man who's been very instrumental, Brandon Adams.
Brandon McAdams.
And he is not with us. He's here at the conference, but he's doing something else. So Patrick was able to join us. So Patrick, thanks for coming out and being with us.
Patrick, I really appreciate it. I know you're busy, but I say it all the time. This is going to be a very musical show today because we're talking to somebody whose son just signed a deal with Sony Nashville. But we always talk about on this show the power of performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Since I forgot to say that in the intro, our key signature has always been generational marketing and management. It's always been about finding that right balance between our traditional members and our young Gen X and Gen Z and our millennial members. And I really appreciate you taking some time out of the day to join us. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care, man. Patrick Livingston, everyone. Really good. And I like to remind people at moments like this that Troy, you go out and do a lot of this stuff. You help facilitate groups. You help develop. You do a lot of great stuff in the credit union, and you never charge for it. So what else is going on at that conference this week?
Well, the conference this week is really just this. So this is the entire event for the 2.5 days. It's really truly an opportunity. It's small group activity, interacting with then larger group. Like last evening, we had a scavenger hunt, which is like team building and an opportunity to tour the grounds. But it's really about the development of people and the development of individuals. And they've done a nice job here of breaking folks up who may come from the same credit union to work with different folks to be able to do it. So. But love it, and I'm really more excited. I want to talk to Anne.
You have no idea how excited I am. Back in May of 2009, we did our second ever concert for financial literacy, and our first one was so incredible. I wish I had not. I'm sure this video exists somewhere on a file on one of my old computers. But the first event we did out at Chetco Federal Credit Union in Brookings Harbor, Oregon, there's a scene where I'm interviewing one of the student performers, Kayla Hamm, and the building is not figuratively shaking. The building is literally shaking. An old wooden gym. Mm-hmm. We put on this live concert, loud music, talking about joining the credit union and stuff like that. Well, we did another one in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, about a year later in May of 2009. And one of the student performers got up in front of 2,000 high school kids outside and at the outside football stadium. His name is Ben Gallagher, and he played the banjo solo, and he sang Wagon Wheel. And I mean, he brought the house down. And I remember thinking, man, this guy's good. This guy's – well, he like I said, earlier – last week he signed a deal with Sony Nashville. And we are privileged to join his mom after the break, who, by the way, Troy, was the first person who ever told me about Twitter. The first time I ever heard that term.
Another reason why I liked her even more now.
Why? You saw
guiding
a picture?
Guiding you in the right way. I mean, this is it. You need people to guide you. It's a good thing that she told you about Twitter.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, literally,
and
look how many people you would not have irritated had you not been on Twitter.
I was just going to say, there are plenty of people in Madison, Wisconsin, and other credit union places around the country that wish our next guest, Ann Dieter Gallagher, had never told me about Twitter. We're going to join her. We're going to visit with her, and we'll do it all right after this. That last train is in high gear. Her name is Ann Dieter Gallagher. Hey, Ann, how are you?
Hi, Jason. I'm doing awesome. How are you guys?
It is so nice to have you on. Yesterday, if people are wondering in the episode page, Anne is the blonde, and Emma is the brunette. Emma is the president of Eloquent Online, and I listened to Emma's show yesterday, and I sent you that link, which is why I put her picture on the episode page. And I tweeted that show because it's our feature show. It's one of my favorite shows, and I'm convinced today is going to be one of my favorite shows. Like I said, you told me about Twitter. We've been chit-chatting back and forth for about 5 years, but we're looking forward to finding out more about you. Tell us about you and your amazing family. We just heard your son in the bump, Ben Gallagher, singing Last Train. Tell us about you and your amazing family.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for sharing time to invite me on and to tell the story of Dieter Gallagher Group and the Gallaghers. And as you mentioned from Twitter, it makes the world a very small relational space. And I'm honored to have continued our conversation over several years. So that's really one of the biggest benefits of social media. We just form these great human connections, and it puts all of our relationships into high gear. So thank you to you and Troy. This is exciting, and I'm honored to be listening and sharing. And I think my youngest son, Ben, is listening as well. So shout out to him in Nashville.
Oh, good. Hey,
and,
Ben.
Yeah, some of our team members are listening as well. So just a quick, I guess, little background on me. I started my business in 2000, and I was a stay-at-home mom for 15 years, raising our three sons. Benjamin is the youngest. The oldest is Joshua. The middle one is Aaron. So you met Benjamin at Cedar Cliff High School for that talent show, which turned into a stadium performance, and that was a lot of fun. So that is our family now. I have had my marketing PR firm since 2000. And since 2009, we have engaged in social media. So we've really supercharged the traditional communications and marketing platforms that most businesses were using. And now we bring all of our clients into the digital space and make sure their audiences, are able to hear their message in whatever form, whether that's mobile, whether that is still traditional newspaper with op-eds, or outdoor advertising, radio. We just want to make sure none of our clients' messages ever get, that they make it to their audiences.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you started the company in 2000 and then you made the transition in 2009 maybe to focus more on the digital marketing side. So how did it actually, like what was it that inspired you to say, hey, I think it's time I form a company?
I will, and Troy, that's a good question. And that is in our book, Women in High Gear, Amy Howe, who's my co-author, who Jason was born in Texas. So there, I give a shout out to
all
Amy.
Right.
You guys
yeah.
Certainly are kindred spirits. I
Me
know
too.
All Texans stick together. So that's awesome. After staying home, I worked 5 years right out of college at a publishing house, and that was a wonderful opportunity for 5 years. I negotiated with them when we were going to have our first son that I wanted to stay at home. I wanted to keep part of my foot in the business field, so to speak. I didn't want my skills to get dull. And could I negotiate with them for some kind of working arrangement? And they were thrilled not to lose a skilled worker that they spent, 5 years investing in. And I was thrilled to be working at home on my terms. So
And that's really great, too, because you know what you really acknowledge there is a company who wants to contribute to the organizational intelligence that they have acquired. I mean, you're right. You as a talented employee. And sometimes I think that companies in today's environment, where you were talking about a decision from 14, 15 years ago, I almost think sometimes today that really the seasoned employee is like, well, they're on their way out. We need to be replacing them with somebody else. So I'm really glad to hear you talk about a story like that.
Well, and it's now remember, this is pre-internet days. So
yeah, right.
My work that I did at home was on a floppy disk, and some of your listeners may not have to Google what that is. They're going to have to, do a quick Google search. But,
okay, because when Jason started, it was all it was all stone slates and abacuses. So it's okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, Smarty Pants, I just reached into my desk and pulled out a BASF floppy disk drive diskette. Let me see here. MS-DOS.
You better throw that up
the,
on Twitter. I want to see.
Oh, I'm going to throw it up
Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
I got it right here.
Yeah.
High double density. Man, this is a really good floppy disk. It's the double density version. It's probably got about 25 kilobytes of memory on it. Hey, Ann, I wanted to ask you. We've talked about it a couple of times already. You told me about Twitter. I always talk to people when I do my spoken sessions about, do you remember when the rumor became the reality? You heard about Facebook, you heard about MySpace, but now your company is actually launching a Facebook page or launching a mobile banking site or launching a Twitter account. You've done so much work in this. And one of the notes I wrote down in the pre-show was that 5 years now feels like technology has enabled these trends to become a traditional part of our business much faster than they used to be. Our show is primarily for banking and credit union brands. I met your son at a credit union event, but you deal with brands all around the Hershey, Pennsylvania area, central PA. What are most brands doing right with social media, and what are some things that we need to do better?
Well, let's start with the positive side. You know, at least I would say 90% of businesses now, large and small, so Fortune 500 down to the small business, you know, understand they have to fish where the fish are. And so we can say, well, Facebook is a fad. 1.3 billion people. So whether you're in the financial industry, whether you're selling, you know, services like checking accounts or you're selling mortgages, whether you are selling dresses or whether you're selling music on iTunes, your audience is there. So whether it's the employees are on Facebook, they are on Facebook all day long on their mobile devices. Twitter, you know, Instagram, YouTube, these are tremendous, wonderful platforms to use. Now, should a business be in every one? No. You fine-tune, you find where your customers are, where do they spend their time, and then invest in making sure your message and your brand and your business can be found there. So if more than 85% of business is done on Google, so it's a first search, what do we find out about you? So if I Google Jason Diaz, what am I going to find? If you are creating your own content, so
well, now,
you're
there's
on...
a list. That was a list.
Wow. Be careful. You may not find good.
I know you were on a roll with good stuff, but all of I thought you were on the positive side. You hadn't moved over to the dark side yet.
So, Jason, I'm going to find everything that you have created, your own content. So if you're the business, I'm going to find what Eloquent Online has produced on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. That will show up on page one. And that's Google Gold, we call. So the positive thing is, first of all, you have to know that you have to leverage these channels.
Well,
so some of
apparently
your
need to hire you.
Yes. Some of your marketing spend is going to shift, that the circulars you were doing, the inserts, you know, the business journals that are coming out weekly, those are receiving fewer eyes, which means those media companies are leveraging digital channels. So, you know, you can go online on their website and they'll be sending you email updates, that kind of thing. So the thing that we're all doing better is understanding we need to be there. And then the second challenge is investing the time and resources. Social media is not free. And what I would tell you is it's the director of first impressions. So instead of now going to a chamber event and you're seeing Ann Dieter Gallagher and I give you my business card, and that's a first impression, before I ever get to the Chamber of Commerce meeting, you know, before I came online and chatted with you folks, I Googled to make sure, you know, who am I talking with? Now, obviously, I know who I'm talking with you, but in any other instance, I would do a little Google search. And that forms, you know, the relationship going forward. And that's a huge positive. So our brand reputation is in our hands.
Right.
And it's incumbent on us to tell our story, whether you're financial services, you know, whether you're in mechanical contracting, heavy construction, commercial real estate, there's an audience on these channels for you.
And
so what do we need to do better?
Oh, yeah.
will understand the power of that tweet and that Facebook post because it's not coming down. So what you need to do better is understand that whoever has the keys to your kingdom, quote unquote, really has to be the brand of the company. You have to be listening to the audience. You have to know, not to put up things that will misconstrue what your company is about. You mm-hmm. have to exhibit authenticity and respond mm-hmm. in customer service. So just understand that it's still a scary channel. When you hit tweet, it's only 140 characters, but those 140 characters can bring an entire company down if it's done poorly.
Right. And wow. being authentic was a good point that you mentioned, because I think organizations have to be able to accept the good and the bad. It's part of that whole part of transparency and the part of being engaged in a conversation is that not everybody has the best thing to say about you, but it's how you handle when people don't say the best thing about you that determines the character of your organization.
Right.
And we have found we've been very successful with our consumers who when sometimes have posted something that was really a misinterpretation of what the experience really was, we have found that they have been very successful in discussing with them, and they have actually removed the negative tweet. We do not remove it, but the consumer can. And so we give them the option to do that. Mm-hmm. We asked them, we said, if you feel that this is favorable, would you be more inclined to write another response indicating that we satisfied this so others will hear the complete story? Or are you willing to just delete the post because you don't feel it's any longer valid? And so our consumers have the choice to do one or the other. So I just kind of throw that out there for you to comment on. How do you feel about that?
Well, Troy, that's awesome that the company is responding with a human voice and persona. You know, it's not many times people, whether you're going to a restaurant and you receive poor service or had a bad meal, and you really wanted to get their attention, you might comment on Yelp or on Facebook or something, but then when you see that the restaurant owner has responded or the chef directly to you, you're thinking mm-hmm. like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I feel badly about that. They reached out to me and they've apologized. They have shown, extraordinary customer service. They've given me a coupon. They want my business. And that's often, all that it requires. Is to make sure you respond to your customer base.
It is, and what you're really talking about is a true entrepreneurial spirit. You're actually saying, okay, whether you are a large mega organization or not, it is if you do not manage it with an entrepreneurial spirit, you're going to be missing the opportunity. And I think, although I've not read your book, it is the one thing that captured my attention from some of the initial skimming of your book, Women in High Gear, is that it's a guide for entrepreneurs. And that just speaks to me just in that essence. If I haven't read anything else, I'm thinking like, wow, I would really want to pick up this book. So tell the folks who are listening a little bit about this particular book and about you being a published author and, what you want to accomplish through the book. I mean, just give us a little highlight in that area.
No. Absolutely, I'd love to. As I mentioned, I co-wrote the book with Amy Howe, and you can find her on Twitter at Howell Marketing, H-O-W-E-L-L. And Amy and I, Jason, joined Twitter within a day of each other, unbeknownst. So we're both professional communicators. Tennessee, and I'm...
Oh, Ann, you're breaking up a little bit. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're breaking up just a little bit. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to let Ann get her phone back squared away, and we'll do it all right after this.
Can you hear me?
Man, when
sound
I
great now.
To the power
sound
of performance,
great.
I just can't
can you hear me now?
Potter, Jason
yes.
and Troy.
Yes. Well, you can dance. We can hear you, Ann. You sound great.
Okay.
You sound great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Great.
I just
and
wanted to go to a break.
Back, you get to answer the question, Ann.
What'd you say?
Okay. You get to answer the question now. That little bump was who is hotter, Jason or Troy?
Oh, I can't weigh in on that. You guys might cut me off.
Well, actually, to be fair, to be fair, in the pre-show, you kind of did, and you picked Troy, which is fine. That puts Troy ahead by two. I totally get that. But I'm sorry. You were telling us about your book. You wrote it with somebody that you had kind of – you both joined Twitter kind of at the same time. But Troy talked about the same thing that excited me about the book, that it's about entrepreneurial stuff. So tell us a bit about the book, and if people want to get a hold of it, how do they do it?
Absolutely. The book is titled Women in High Gear, and you can find it on Amazon under Women in High Gear. You can go to our website, womeninhighgear.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at Women in High Gear. And we published it in 2011. Amy Howell is my co-author, and she's from Memphis, Tennessee, as I had mentioned, and we both own PR firms. And we met just by following each other's content. Amy was putting out just great content about public relations and marketing and her journey as a woman in business. And so we went from Twitter to direct message, which is the private platform on Twitter,
right,
to cell phones to plane tickets. That is how that transpired. And so she from Tennessee, me from Pennsylvania, and we formed this great working relationship. We were both invited to NASDAQ for an event and to spend all day there and close the markets. It was such an amazing experience for us as communicators, and we were tweeting the entire day and using hashtags. And on our train trip home on the Amtrak from New York City to Harrisburg, this whole Women in High Gear idea was born. And we said, you know, our journeys – I was a stay-at-home mom for 15 years after off-ramping. So 5 years in the workforce, off-ramped for 15 years, and realized at the age of 40 I was going to start my own business. And there was no playbook for that. So when you go to a bank or financial institution, wherever you're getting your loan from, and you say that you've been 15 years at home, you know, you're not exactly their prime candidate. So so really being able to sell myself on why I was a good investment and, you know, wanted an executive line of credit. Amy never off-ramped, so she worked while being a mother through her two children. So we had two very different stories, but we had the same commitment and DNA to business success. So what we did was combine that into Women in High Gear. We have 13 chapters. Every chapter has Amy's lens and Anne's lens. So you're going to find yourself in almost all the stories. You can relate, whether you're a young man that just graduated from college and you think, you know, you'd like to start your own business, whether you're a mid-careerist and you want to on-ramp, you know, if you were staying home or caregiving for an elderly parent and you want to get back in, and or if you want to ascend to the C-suite. We really have stories in there for all of that, and it starts with defining your high gear. And we put the onus on the individual. You know, we have to put the stake in the ground and say, I'm going to be intentional. This is my high gear. And then you look around you and you reach out and ask other business leaders and executives for their advice and their help, and could they advance your career, you know, seek out a mentor. We talk about building your personal brand. And this, Jason and Troy, Twitter speaks to that, and that's really where Benjamin has mastered, you know, telling your own story and starting to build your digital tattoo from the minute you get on
that.
These channels.
Yeah,
I got to ask you about that because we are definitely. Hey, just for folks, if you're listening live right now, you are going to lose the broadcast at the bottom of the hour. But you can listen back to the entire show in the archive, or we're absolutely 100% going to go into bonus time. You mentioned Ben before Troy wraps it up. I just got to ask you. Last week, the Twitter and the things that I follow blew up. Your son Ben signed a deal with Sony Nashville. I've just got to ask you, as a mom, because I'm a parent too, Troy's a parent, as a mom, what was it like when you found out that your son had signed a music deal with one of the most recognized musical brands in American musical history?
Well, probably it was one of the few times I was speechless in my life. And it was almost surreal because, you know, Corey and I, my husband, Benjamin's dad, and I were blessed to be down in Nashville at the signing. And when you really think about, like you just said, Jason, as the world's largest record label, and you know how many guitarists and musicians and artists are in Nashville alone, let alone, you know, throughout the world who have the same dream. And so the dream really... supercharged with hard work and understanding how to connect with each other, understanding how to make good music and ask for help and be humble, is really, you know, brought him to that point of the Sony A&R people of who is Ben Gallagher. And it was just a tremendous blessing. When you see your child doing what he or she loves, I mean, you support and you thank God and you just hang on for the ride.
Well, I'll tell you, he closed out Financial Literacy Month on a separate channel of ours, and you just said the word that's what impressed me about him when I first met him. He was very, very humble, even though he had just brought down the house in front of 2,500 of his peers. I'm going to tell you straight up, and I don't think there is a disconnect between his success and the way you raised your family. And before Troy wraps this up, I just want to tell you, it's just been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today.
You are sweet. You're both. I'm just honored to share the story with you folks.
Yeah.
Very honored. Thank you.
Well, it's a great story, too, and especially when you speak about humility from a leadership perspective, because, you know, really when you're talking about entrepreneurship, you're talking about women in high gear, you're talking about even, you know, men in the workplace, everybody in that whole sphere, and you're talking about leadership. You know, the humility aspect of leadership is sometimes underrated in the approach it has and the way the communication works between the leader and the follower. And the one thing, if I just look to research that everyone could say I have access to, and that would be Jim Collins' book in 2001, Good to Great. And in that particular book and his research with these great leaders who did marvelous, wonderful things, he determined that the number one factor that distinguished them from everyone else, which is why he called it the level 5 leader, because most of the industry was level 4, level 5 leader was that distinction of humility. So it isn't something that you can necessarily teach. It's not an acquired skill, but it is definitely a way of being. And so there are things that you can do to be like that, but it is really, truly part of the DNA. So, you know, really, I didn't get a chance to witness it, but when I hear you talk about it, I just definitely know it makes a difference in how that young man is going to be a leader in what he does next. So great stuff. So really glad that you were on the show.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. And that's one of my favorite books, too, Troy. So it's on my desk here.
Hey, Ann, if folks want to find out more about you or the Dieter Gallagher Group, what do they need to do?
First thing, they could go to Twitter, at Ann, A-N-N-E, D, Gallagher. That's the easiest way. You'll find me on there. You could find me on DieterGallagherGroup.com. That's our company website. You can find us on Facebook. You can go to WomenInHighGear.com. So easy to find.
I want to let everybody know it's Gallagher. There's no G
right.
in there. It's not like
right.
the guy that used to blow up watermelons. It's Gallagher. And
yes.
Seriously, and you've been an absolute delight. Troy and I have been doing this show. We're in our fifth calendar year. We can read one another's pauses and voice and stuff like that. He and I are both thinking we would love to have you back anytime, anywhere, any place. You've been an absolute joy. It's been an absolute privilege having you on the show today, and thank you so very, very much.
Thank you both, gentlemen. Thank you.
Right. Take care.
Welcome. Thank
and
you.
Dieter Gallagher.
All right.
Bye.
Jason, thanks for acknowledging during the pre-show that she actually said that I was hotter than you.
She did. I'm not going to lie about it. I think you're up by 2
really.
Now, so I'm just going to have to stack
not,
the
I'm
audience.
I'm up by 40. I'm up by 40. I don't know if it's 2 and keep starting over again at 2, like your number
hey,
is 2.
Listen,
it's like I'm up by 40 now.
We're into bonus time. We're going to have to continue the conversation next week on the show. If it's Wednesday, it's the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? We debuted the Life Simplified Radio this past Monday. The listens have been off the hook. They have been crazy. Troy, that has been one of the most fun projects I have worked on in the post-Twitter Facebook age.
Thank you, and our staff is loving the program as well. So yes, we'll chat more about that another time. But I got to move on myself,
right,
dude. I got to go on to another part of the session. So I'm out of here myself.
Right.
So signing off from Winston-Salem. It's Troy. Thanks, guys.
All right, everybody else, you know where to find us. Every Wednesday, it's the Power Performance. We bring you the best information without the expense report, without the trip to the conference. We do it all for free. Until next we speak, I'll talk to you next week.
That's all, folks.